Geostatistics Explained, Chapter 19, Nonparametric Tests for Ratio, Interval, or Ordinal Scale Data. 19.1, Introduction. This chapter describes some nonparametric tests for ratio, interval, and ordinal scale univariate data. These tests do not use the predictable distribution of sample means, which is the basis of most parametric tests, to infer whether the samples are from the same population. Consequently, nonparametric tests are generally not as powerful as their parametric equivalents. But if the data are grossly non-normal and cannot be satisfactorily improved by transformation, then it is necessary to use one of these tests. Nonparametric tests are often called, quote, distribution-free tests, unquote. But most nevertheless assume that the samples being analyzed are from populations with the same distribution. Therefore, most nonparametric tests should not be used when there are gross differences in distribution, including the variance among samples. The general rule is that the ratio of the largest to smallest sample variance should not exceed 4 to 1, discussed in Chapter 13, also applies to nonparametric tests. Many nonparametric tests for ratio, interval, or ordinal data calculate a statistic from a comparison of two or more samples and work in the following way. First, the raw data are converted to ranks. For example, the lowest value is assigned a rank of 1, the next highest 2, etc. This transforms the data to an ordinal scale, see Chapter 3, with ranks indicating only their relative order. Under the null hypothesis that the samples are from the same population, you would expect a similar range of ranks within each, with differences among samples occurring only by chance. Second, a statistic that reflects any differences in the ranks among samples is calculated, and its value compared to the expected distribution of this statistic when the samples have been taken from the same population. If the calculated value falls within the range generated by the most extreme 5% of departures from the null hypothesis, the result is considered statistically significant. Most statistical packages give the value of the test statistic together with the probability of that outcome. Randomization and exact tests can also be used to compare two or more samples of the ratio, interval, or ordinal scale data and are described in this chapter. 19.2. A nonparametric comparison between one sample and an expected distribution. The Kolmogorov-Smirnov one-sample test can be used to compare the distribution of a single sample of continuous data to an expected or known distribution. Here's an example. Limestone is relatively soft, easily worked, and has an attractive appearance, so it is often cut into blocks and used as building stone and tombstones. Unfortunately, it is composed mostly of calcium carbonate, calcite, or CaCO3, and therefore vulnerable to dissolution by rainwater, which is naturally slightly acidic but can be extremely so, hence the term acid rain, in polluted areas. Tombstones in a graveyard east of Detroit, Michigan, have a bimodal distribution of the following amount of weathering. Some stones start to show signs of partial dissolution after only 10 years, while others take much longer. All of these tombstones come from a nearby quarry that has been worked for more than 200 years. The amount of weathering in the tombstones can be quantified by examining the lead that was initially inserted into the carved lettering and then the polished flush with the surface of the stone. Acid rain will slowly dissolve the limestone, but not the lead. Thus, a, quote, lead lettering index, unquote, LLI, that is, the absolute difference in height between the lead letters and the eroded surface of the stone around them, was used to quantify the weathering of a tombstone. Generations of geology students have visited the town's graveyards and amassed LLI data along with the age of the tombstone, limestone tombstones. These data have been obtained for such a large number of stones over the decades that they can be assumed to be the distribution for the population. The owner of the local quarry, where all the tombstones originated, noticed that some areas of the quarry walls containing large quantities of fossils showed very little weathering. The owner wondered if stone from these areas might produce more lasting tombstones, so they commissioned a geologist to test the hypothesis that tombstones containing the most fossils were more resistant to dissolution. That sounds dope. I want a tombstone like that. Just kidding, I don't really want a tombstone at all. Anyway, the geologist visited a local graveyard and measured the LLIs for 36 tombstones, each of which was 100 years old and contained prominent fossils. This distribution was compared to the known distribution of the LLIs for the much larger population of 100-year-old tombstones measured by generations of students. Both sets of data are summarized in Table 19.1. If you make a preliminary inspection of these data by drawing a histogram, you will find the LLI distribution is bimodal and clearly not appropriate for analysis using a parametric test such as a simple single-sample t-test. A non-parametric test is needed. For a Kolmogorov, Smirnov, one-sample test, you need to subdivide the range, here the LLI for the tombstones, into several intervals of equal width and count the number of cases within each. This is the same procedure used for drawing a frequency histogram described in section 3.3.2, and you should follow these guidelines. A worked example is given in table 19.1. First, the number of cases in each interval is converted to relative frequencies and thus their proportions of the sample. Second, the relative frequencies are progressively added together to give the cumulative relative frequency, i.e., the cumulative proportion. Here, too, this procedure is the same as drawing a cumulative frequency graph, section 3.3.3. The cumulative proportions for the sample have to be compared to the cumulative proportions of the known distribution for the population. To do this, you calculate the absolute value of the difference between cumulative observed relative frequency, Fi, or F initial, and cumulative expected relative frequency, caret F initial, for each interval, which will always be positive. There's equation 19.1. If the observed and expected proportions in each interval are the same, the value of D will always be zero. As the discrepancy between the observed and expected proportions increases, the value of D will also increase. The largest value is found and called the D statistic. For the worked example in table 19.1, the D statistic is 0.1217. Statistical packages generate the cumulative frequency distributions, calculate the D statistic, and give the probability. The most common use of the Kolmogorov-Smirnov one-sample test is to compare the distribution of one sample with unexpected distributions such as the normal curve, and most statistical packages include this option. 19.3. Non-parametric comparisons between two independent samples. 19.3.1, the Mann-Whitney test. The Mann-Whitney test is used to compare two independent samples. Table 19.2 gives data for the length in centimeters of Devonian age paracyclus clams in each of two outcrops. The null hypothesis is that the two samples have come from the same population. First, the values are ranked over both samples as shown in Table 19.2. The smallest value is given the rank of 1, and the next smallest the rank of 2, etc., so the largest will have the rank of n plus 1 plus n2, which is the sum of the number of cases in each sample. For the data in Table 19.2, the largest possible rank is 9. If two or more values are the same, that is, they are tied, each value is given the average of the ranks assigned to that many values. For example, if the data in Table 19.2 contained 2 4-centimeter-long clams, and these were the smallest, each would be given the average ranks of 1 and 2, which is 1.5. If most of the clams were longer in one outcrop than the other, the ranks would differ between these two samples. In contrast, if the clams were of a similar length in both outcrops, the ranks within each sample would also be similar. The ranks are summed up separately for each sample. These are R1 and R2 in Table 19.2, and the two Mann-Whitney statistics, U and U prime, can be calculated with equation 19.1 and equation 19.3, where N1 and N2 are the size of the sample. These equations may appear complex, but are easily explained by separating them into three components, as shown for U in equation 19.2. And now they're showing us component A, component B, and component C of 19.4. Component A will increase with the size of both samples. It looks like component A is added to component B, and then the sum of those has component C subtracted from it. So component A will increase with the size of both samples. Component B will only increase as the size of sample 1 increases. In contrast, component C will be affected by the way the ranks are distributed between the two samples. A lot of low ranks in sample 1 will give a relatively small value of R1, and vice versa. Therefore, since U is calculated by taking component C away from the sum of components A and B, it will be large compared to U prime when sample 1 contains low ranks. In contrast, if sample 1 contains mainly high ranks, the value of U will be small compared to U prime. Finally, if both samples contain similar ranks, then neither U nor U prime will be relatively large or small. When both samples are from the same population, most values of U and U prime will be similar, but differences between them will occur by chance, and the most extreme 5% of discrepancies will give values of U or U prime that will exceed the critical value. For a two-tailed test, if either of the used statistics exceeds the critical value, then the probability the samples are from the same population is less than 5%. 19.3.2, randomization tests for two independent samples. Another way of comparing two independent samples without assuming they are from a normal distribution is to use a randomization test. These tests were first discussed in relation to samples of categorical data in Chapter 18. If two independent samples are taken from the same population, then the values within each should differ only by chance. A randomization test takes the combined sets of ranks from both samples, a group of size N1 plus N2, repeatedly samples it at random, and assigns it to the ranks of two groups, size N1 and N2. The simulated sampling is iterated several thousand times and used to generate the expected distribution of U and U prime from the data set and therefore identify the most extreme 5% of departures from the outcome expected under the null hypothesis. Finally, the U statistics for the actual outcome are compared to these distributions, and if the probability is less than 5%, it is statistically significant. Figure 19.1. 19.3.3. Exact tests for two independent samples. Data for two samples can also be analyzed by tests that calculate the exact probability and work in a very similar way to the Fisher exact probability test described in Chapter 18. An exact test for two independent samples calculates the probability of the actual difference, or values of statistics such as U and U prime, between the ranks of the samples, together with any more extreme differences from the outcome expected under the null hypothesis. This gives the one-tailed probability of the outcome. Here's an example for two independent samples with three data in each. The values range from 1 to 6, and the total set of ways in which they can be distributed between two samples is shown in Table 19.3. We have deliberately made the values the same as their ranks and used a simple comparison between rank sums of the samples. For this example, there are only two combinations that will give the greatest difference between the rank sums. These are when the first sample contains the three lowest, 1, 2, and 3, and the second the three highest, 4, 5, and 6 ranks, and vice versa, giving an absolute difference of 9. Less extreme differences can be obtained from several combinations and are therefore more likely. For example, you may wish to calculate the probability of the observed outcome and any more extreme departures from the one expected under the null hypothesis when the one sample contains the ranks 1, 2, and 5, and the other contains ranks 3, 4, and 6. The observed difference between the sums of the ranks is negative 5. You will find this outcome in the third line from the top of Table 19.3. There are two more extreme differences, negative 7 and negative 9, in the same direction, that is, with increasingly negative values, from the outcome expected under null hypothesis. The probability of each outcome is calculated directly from sampling a set of 6 values without replacement, e.g., the chance of rank 1 is 1 out of 6, but the chance of then selecting rank 2 is 1 out of 5, etc. Once calculated, these probabilities are summed, thus giving the one-tailed probability of the observed outcome and any more extreme departures from the null hypothesis. It is one-tailed because differences in the same absolute size between the samples, i.e., the last three lines showing differences of 5, 7, and 9 in Table 19.3, have been ignored, and this has to be doubled to get the two-tailed probability. 19.3.4. Recommended nonparametric tests for two independent samples. Most statistical packages include the Mann-Whitney test, but if you have one that includes an exact test or randomization test for two
large table. For two independent samples, they are recommended in preference to the Mann-Whitney test. 19.4, non-parametric comparisons among more than two independent samples. The most frequently used non-parametric test for more than two independent samples is the Kruskal-Wallis test. It is also called the Kruskal-Wallis single factor analysis of variance by ranks. That is far too long to say, but this is misleading because it does not use analysis of variance to compare samples. What the hell? Why would people say it if it's too long to say and it's wrong? Instead, the Kruskal-Wallis test is an extension of the Mann-Whitney test that can be applied to three or more samples. I am so confused. Okay, 19.4.1, the Kruskal-Wallis test. For a Kruskal-Wallis test, the data are ranked in the same way as for a Mann-Whitney test, starting by assigning the lowest rank to the smallest value. Here's an example that also uses the length of Devonian-age paracyclist clams discussed in section 19.3.1, except that here, the clams are being compared among three outcrops. The null hypothesis is, quote, there is no difference in the length of clams from the three outcrops, unquote. It is clear that a marked difference in the length of clams among outcrops will also result in a difference in the ranks and the rank sums. The rank sums for each group are used in the following formula for the Kruskal-Wallis statistic H, and that's formula 19.5, where N is the total sample size and K is the number of groups or samples. Although this formula looks complex, it is straightforward when considered as three components. Wow, those look familiar. This time, component A is multiplied by component B, and then component C is subtracted from the product of the first two. That's equation 19.6. Components A and C will increase as sample size increases. Component B is the sum of all the squared rank totals. If all R initial values are relatively similar, then component B, and therefore H, will be smaller than when some are large and others are small because of the effect of squaring relatively large numbers, box 19.1. The distribution of H for samples taken at random from the same population has been established and used to identify the 5% most extreme departures from the null hypothesis of no difference. For large samples, or where the number of groups or treatments is more than 5, the value of H is a close approximation to the chi-square statistic with K minus 1 degrees of freedom, and many statistical packages only give this statistic and its probability for the result of a Kruskal-Wallis test. 19.4.2. Exact tests and randomization tests for three or more independent samples. Randomization and exact tests on the ranks of three or more independent samples are extensions of the methods described for two independent samples, and it is not necessary to explain these further. 19.4.3. A posteriori comparisons after a non-parametric comparison. A non-parametric comparison can detect a significant difference among three or more groups, but it cannot show which groups appear to be from the same or different populations. The problem was discussed in Chapter 10 in relation to a single-factor parametric ANOVA. If the effect of the variable you are examining is considered fixed, you need to use a non-parametric a posteriori test to compare among groups. These are described in more advanced texts. Box 19.1. The effect of an unequal allocation of ranks on the total of the squared rank sums. This example uses three groups with two values each. Only the ranks of the values are shown. First, the rank sums are identical among groups. So group A sums to R1, which is 7. Group B sums to R1, which is, or R2, which is 7, and group C sums to R3, which is also 7. So then that gets run through an equation, and we end up with 147. Second, the rank sums are different among groups, and this gives a larger sum of the squared rank sums. Okay, so now we have R1 for group A is 3, R2 for group 3 is 7, and R3 for group C is 11. And our total is 179 after it spits out the other end of the equation. Okay. 19.4.4, rank transformation followed by a single factor ANOVA. Another way of analyzing data that are grossly non-normal is to run a parametric single factor ANOVA on the ranks. This is not a true non-parametric test,
but it does have the advantage of easy a posteriori comparisons when an effect is fixed and the initial analysis shows a significant difference among samples. It is as powerful as applying a Kruskal-Wallis test. Well, then why is there a Kruskal-Wallis test? I'm sure it said that somewhere. No, it didn't. Oh, well. 19.4.5. Recommended non-parametric tests for three or more independent samples. Most statistical packages include the Kruskal-Wallis test, which is up to 95% as powerful as the equivalent parametric factor, single factor ANOVA, described in Chapter 10. If you have a package that includes an exact test or randomization test, these are recommended in preference to the Kruskal-Wallis test. Several texts recommend using a parametric ANOVA after rank transformation, but it is important to note that this is not a true non-parametric comparison. 19.5. Non-parametric comparisons of two related samples. Related samples were first discussed in Chapter 8. Some examples are when a variable is measured twice, and usually under different conditions, on the same sampling or experimental unit, or when the units within one sample or treatment are somehow related to those in a second, e.g., an experiment where several specimens of the same mineral are split in two, with one piece of each specimen assigned to treatment A, while the other is assigned to treatment B. There are several non-parametric tests for determining the probability that two related samples have been taken from the same population, and these include the Wilcoxon paired sample test, as well as randomization and exact tests for this statistic. 19.5.1. The Wilcoxon paired sample test. The Wilcoxon paired sample test is the non-parametric equivalent of the paired sample t-test. The following example is from medical mineralogy. In Chapter 6, we mentioned that asbestos fibers show longitudinal parting and have ends that fray into individual fibers. If inhaled, these fibers often remain in the lung where they cause inflammation and scarring of lung tissue, which leads to a high incidence of cancer. In humans, the trachea, the windpipe, branches into two bronchi, which each lead to different lungs. The bronchus leading to the right lung is wider, shorter, and angled more closely to the vertical than the one leading to the left lung. Not surprisingly, it has been found that inhaled objects are more likely to lodge in the right bronchus, so a pathologist hypothesized that the right lung may also receive a greater proportion of inhaled asbestos particles and therefore show a higher incidence of lesions. To test this, the pathologist counted the number of lesions found during postmortem examination of the left and right lungs of 10 male asbestos workers who had died of natural causes. The data are in Table 19.5. For the Wilcoxon test, the difference between each pair of related sampling units is first calculated. Each is also given as the absolute difference, and these values are ranked, Table 19.5. Finally, the ranks are associated with negative and positive differences, which are summed separately to give the Wilcoxon statistics T plus and T minus. For the data in Table 19.5, the ranks of positive differences sum to 25, cases 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 9, while the ranks of the negative differences sum to 30, cases 3, 7, 8, and 10. Under the null hypothesis of no effect, the bronchial structure on the number of lesions in each lung, any differences between the pair of related samples, and therefore T plus and T minus, would only be expected by chance. If, however, there were an effective bronchial structure, it would contribute to the differences between these two statistics. The values of T plus and T minus can be compared to their expected distributions from taking related samples at random from a population. For a two-tailed test, the null hypothesis is rejected if either T plus or T minus is less than a critical value. But for a one-tailed test, the null hypothesis is only rejected if the appropriate T statistic is less than a critical value. For example, if it were hypothesized that there were more lesions in the right lung than the left, a reduction in the number of negative ranks would be expected, so the null hypothesis would only be rejected if T minus were less than the critical value. For large samples, the distributions of both T statistics approximate a normal curve, so statistical packages often give the value of the Z statistic and probability for the result of the Wilcoxon test. 19.5.2. Exact tests and randomization tests for two related samples. The procedures for randomization and exact tests on the ranks of two related samples are conceptually similar to the analyses for two independent samples described in section 19.3, and it is not necessary to explain them any further. 19.6. Non-parametric comparisons among three or more related samples. Tests for three or more related samples include the Friedman test, together with randomization and exact tests for this statistic. 19.6.1, the Friedman test. The Friedman test is called the Friedman two-way analysis of variance by ranks, but this is misleading because it is not equivalent to the two-factor ANOVA discussed in Chapter 12. The Friedman test cannot detect interaction and only examines differences among the levels of one factor, so is really analogous to the two-factor ANOVA without replication applied to the randomization block experimental design described in Chapter 14. Table 19.6 gives the results of a randomized block of experiment designed to compare the effects of the addition of vermiculite, section 8.4.3, upon the amount of water retained by topsoil in a large field. There is considerable natural spatial variation in the water retention, so the experimental field was subdivided into six strips, and one replicate of every treatment was assigned to each strip, in a randomized block design with three treatments in six blocks. Soil in the control treatment was plowed, while soil in the other two treatments was A, plowed and mixed with 10 grams per kilogram vermiculite, and B, 50 grams per kilogram vermiculite. Data for the number of grams of water per 100 grams of topsoil 3 weeks after the treatments were applied are in Table 19.6. For a Friedman test, the data are first transformed into ranks. These are assigned within each block and therefore within each row of Table 19.6. The lowest value in each row is given the rank of 1 and the next highest 2, etc., and the highest rank cannot exceed the number of treatments. If the treatments are from the same population, the range of ranks and the rank sums for each should also be similar, and any variation due to chance, with any variation due to chance. If, however, there is any effect of either treatment, the ranks and their sums will also differ. For the example in Table 19.6, the control contains all but two of the lowest ranks, while the treatment B, 50 grams per kilogram vermiculite, contains all but one of the highest. Next, the total of the squared rank sums is calculated. The size of this total will depend on the relative size of the rank sums, box 19.1, with a set of similar ones giving a smaller total than a set of dissimilar ones. Finally, the following formula is used to calculate the Friedman statistic XR squared. That's equation 19.7, where A is the number of treatments or groups and B is the number of blocks. This appears complex, but once again can be split into three basic components as shown in equation 19.8 below. The Friedman statistic is obtained by multiplying components A and B together and then subtracting component C. Wow, I don't even have to summarize it myself. They just did. Components A and C will increase as sample sizes and the number of samples increase. If the rank sums are very similar among treatments, component B will be relatively small, so the value of the Friedman statistic will also be small. As the differences among the rank sums increase, component B will increase, thus giving an increasingly larger value of the Friedman statistic. Once this exceeds the critical value, above which less than 5% of the most extreme departures from the null hypothesis occur when samples are taken from the same population, the outcome is considered statistically significant. This analysis can be up to 95% as powerful as the equivalent two-factor ANOVA without replication for randomized blocks. 19.6.2. Exact tests and randomization tests for three or more related samples. The procedures for randomization and exact tests on the ranks of three or more related samples are extensions of the methods for two independent samples and do not need to be explained any further. 19.6.3. A posteriori comparisons for three or more related samples. If the Friedman test shows a significant difference among treatments and the effect is considered fixed, you're likely to want to know which treatments are statistically different. See 19.4.3. A posteriori testing can be done and instructions are given in more advanced texts, such as ZAR 1996. 19.7. Analyzing ratio, interval, or ordinal data that show gross differences in variance among treatments and cannot be satisfactorily transformed. some data show gross differences in variance among treatments that cannot be improved by transformation and are therefore unsuitable for parametric or non-parametric analysis. An exploration geologist in Canada was evaluating the economic potential of a circular depression thought to be an impact crater. They knew that the large-scale impact structure at the nearby Sudbury was associated with valuable copper and nickel deposits, and that other impact structures are excellent reservoirs for oil and gas. So they set out to determine if the new locality might also be an impact structure. One of the key properties of impacted rocks is their high concentration of platinum group elements. Perhaps the most diagnostic of these is iridium, which is famously found all over the world in an ash layer that corresponds to the end of the Cretaceous period and the extinction of the dinosaurs. Iridium is not normally present in crustal rocks on the Earth's surface. It's usually found in the metallic cores of differentiated planets and in iron from meteorites. So when an impact from an iron-rich object occurs on Earth, the iridium vaporizes and is distributed among the impact ejecta in unusually high concentrations, up to 100 parts per billion. Thus, iridium concentration can be used as a geochemical tracer to indicate that rocks have experienced an impact event. The exploration geologist collected 15 core samples from his suspected new impact site, along with the 15 from the Sudbury impact structure. The concentration of iridium in the two samples of 15 is given in table 19.7. It is clear that there are gross differences in the distributions between the two samples, with one showing bimodality. A solution is to transform the data to a nominal scale and reclassify both samples into mutually exclusive categories of, quote, with iridium and, quote, no iridium, table 19.8, which can be compared using a test for two or more independent samples of categorical data, chapter 18. Okay. 19.8, non-parametric correlation analysis. Correlation analysis was introduced in Chapter 15 as an exploratory technique used to determine whether two variables are related or vary together. Importantly, there is no expectation that the numerical value of one variable can be predicted from the other, nor is it necessary that either variable is determined by the other. The parametric test for correlation gives a statistic that varies between plus 1 and negative 1, with both of these extremes indicating a perfect positive and negative straight line relationship, respectively, while values around 0 show no relationship. Although parametric correlation analysis is powerful, it can only detect linear relationships and also assumes that both the x and y variables are normally distributed. When normality of both variables cannot be assumed, or the relationship between the two variables does not appear to be limited, linear, and cannot be remedied by transformation, it is not appropriate to use a parametric test for correlation. The most commonly used non-parametric test for correlation is Spearman's rank correlation. 19.8.1, Spearman's rank correlation. This test is extremely straightforward. The two variables are ranked separately from lowest to highest, and the parametric Pearson correlation coefficient is calculated for the ranked values. This gives a statistic called the Spearman's rho, which for a population is symbolized by rho S and rho and RS for a sample. Spearman's RS and Pearson's R will not always be the same for the same set of data. For Pearson's R, the correlation coefficients of 1 or negative 1 were only obtained when there was a perfect set of positive or negative straight line relationships between the variables. In contrast, Spearman's RS will give a value of 1 or negative 1 whenever the ranks for the two variables are in perfect agreement or disagreement, figure 19.2, which occurs in more cases than a straight line relationship. The probability of the value of RS can be obtained by comparing it to the expected distribution of the statistic, and most statistical packages will give RS together with its probability. 19.9, other non-parametric tests. This chapter is only an introduction to some non-parametric tests for two or more samples of independent and related data. Other non-parametric tests are described in more specialized but nevertheless extremely well-explained texts such as Siegel and Castellan, 1988. 19.10, questions. 1. The table below gives summary data for the depth of the water table in feet for a population of 1,000 wells. A.
what are the relative frequencies and cumulative relative frequencies for each depth? B, for a sample of 100 wells, give a distribution of water table depths that would not be significantly different from the population. For another sample of 100, give a distribution of water table depths that you would expect to be significantly deeper than the population. What test would be appropriate to compare these samples to the known population? 2. An easy way to understand the process of ranking and the tests that use this procedure is to use a contrived data set. The following two independent samples have very similar rank sums. A. Rank the data across both samples and calculate the rank sums. B. Use a statistical package to run a Mann-Whitney test on the data. Is there a significant difference between the samples? C. Now, change the data so that you would expect a significant difference between groups. Well, that just gave away the answer to the previous one. Run the Mann-Whitney test again. Was the difference significant? 3. The following set of data for the percentage of sandstone porosity shows a gross difference in distribution between two samples. A. How might you compare these two samples? B. Use your suggested method to test the hypothesis that the two samples have different porosities. Is there a significant difference?